You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on November 28, 2003.
Snow in the wild community has been the subject of more than one episode of The Nature of Things. I don't have anything new to add to what I've said in the past, but I know that my audience changes yearly, and it doesn't hurt to recycle or to propose ideas anew. Snowless winters produce many challenges to wildlife that the presence of snow ameliorates. Without snow, the earth freezes rapidly. When it does, it becomes difficult for those who forage on the forest floor. This can cause them to seek sources that are more exposed and make them more vulnerable to predators. Digging is impossible, and this may even cancel some of their shelter mechanisms. Many small rodents cannot survive long exposure to sub-freezing temperature. Relative warm shelter and food sources need to be close together. Snow is a great insulator. When it comes early before the ground has frozen solid, it can delay the process and extend the period when it is workable for mammals to burrow beneath the snow. Even some creatures not known for burrowing will take advantage of the snow for nighttime protection. I have a list including first-hand encounters of birds that have taken advantage of a fresh snowbank overnight. Ruffed grouse and pheasants top my personal list, including, for instance, where a switch from snow to sleet has resulted in the entrapment of a grouse. Usually at daybreak, a grouse will burst from its snowbank bed with a shower of snow. This one tried frantically to escape, but couldn't seem to break the crust. Probably it would have finally succeeded, but I got a long stick and broke the crust. The bird flew away, but I always wondered later about the stress caused by the poking stick. Many mammals habitually create snowbank burrows. Meadow voles seem to prefer the subsurface lunch counter, created by snow drifting high enough to partially bury the lower branches of shrubs or trees. Bark of young apple saplings or branches, long covered with snow, may be completely removed. Dining under the snow, rodents are relatively safe from predators. At an open lunch counter, they are exposed both to predators and to wind chill. The same kind of protection is offered to fragile plants by a snowbank. Many perennial or biennial plants die back to a doily-like rosette of winter leaves, which are soon covered by snow. Many other plants can withstand freezing conditions, but are vulnerable to the drying effects of winter winds. Plants that grow in alpine and arctic situations provide striking examples. The profile is dwarfed and prostrate compared to relatives growing in more temperate climes. In many situations, shoots that project above the snow cover are desiccated and die back, the victims of a frigid, dry wind. This produces a wind-shaped profile of twisted stems and leaning crown, known as Krummholz. The term is German. It means twisted wood. Deep snow is somewhat of a mixed blessing to wildlife, depending on its moisture content and the consolidation of its surface. Fresh snow will not support the weight of a deer, but may be navigated by snowshoe hare or grouse. As a crust develops, it is increasingly supportive of heavier wildlife. Snowshoers are aware of these differences. Compared to weathered snow, the fresh, fallen, feathery variety into which your snowshoes settle can impose a serious physical challenge. More than once, I have observed rough grouse feeding on sumac fruit made accessible by deep snowbanks. I have also seen evidence of deer using an encrusted snowbank to attain flower buds and twigs of apple trees far above their normal reach. Snow is also important in curbing the normal erosive effects of precipitation. Rainfall combines with gravity to create an impressive landscaping machine. The milk chocolate coloration of swollen streams following a spring shower gives evidence of that. Snow combines with wind to produce some damage, but once settled and consolidated, it resists gravity. It may rest exactly where it fell for months until the warming winds of spring liberate its moisture. Its liquid alter ego recharges the wetlands and refreshes the rills and rivulets, and that entices fish from salmonoid to bullhead to swim upward in search of ancestral spawning grounds. Like Janus of Roman mythology, snow has two faces, one fixed on its origin and its stability, the other looking forward to a more active future role. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.